we're back just like that, my friends. Welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show. We're bringing you the latest world news and health research and the highest quality energy stack supplements you could possibly buy. And we're putting them on your countertop every day for you to keep you guys healthy, strong, alert, awake, and ready to get things done. How are you doing this morning?
To be honest with you, I've got to tell you something.
What'd you do now?
If my life was any better, I'd have to charge admission. It's that good.
How much you charge me to hang out with you, bro?
It's like Zig Ziglar.
I gotta pay you $20 an hour to hang out with you now.
Well, a little more. It's like Zig Ziglar said, hey, I'm doing great, but I'll get better because this is the day the Lord hath made, and I shall rejoice and be glad in it every single day of the year.
Well, that's a valid point. See, you're going on to that. You know, we've talked about it before. You run into some people, you know, like, how are you doing? They go, well, I'm not doing that bad.
That's horrible. Badly.
That when you actually analyze that statement, it's really negative. Because you're essentially saying, well, I'm not doing that bad.
How bad are you doing?
Right. How bad? Well, what degree? 0 out of 10? Is it a 9 out of 10? So avoid that comment. Always try to speak positive the best you can about yourself, about your life, about your situation. Sometimes situations suck. Let's be real. Sometimes something happens and you're like, this was not ideal. But I will figure out a way to get past it. I will succeed on it. And I'm going to do my absolute best at every point in time to make the best out of what's happening. And that, I guarantee you, you change that mindset, you change that protocol, certain things that happen like that, you'll be shocked on how much more efficiently you can handle things. And also, with a lot less stress, a lot of times we get our stress and our cortisol wound up based solely on our own thoughts. For example, there may be an outside source that stresses you out for like at work or business. Something's got a deadline. Well, you start thinking, instead of focusing on that deadline, let me get this project done, you start thinking, what if I don't get the deadline done? What if I don't get the project done? What if I got a mosquito? Got him. If I got a mosquito that basically is running around, what's going to happen to all these other things? And a lot of times you get yourself worked up in the situation and you don't even figure out that you could have the whole situation done. Why do we have so many mosquitoes in here? Golly, I've killed two of them now. You put some... Yeah, I don't know what it is up in here. I mean, it's like I've killed 3 or 4 since I've been in here, 2 on camera already. Anyways, I digress. So that was the problem. Mosquitoes are in here. Now I've killed them. Now I assess it and go past it. So exactly, my friends, I had a really good point with that. Mosquitoes just get my attention. I can't stand them. See, we get these big mosquitoes. They grow by the minute. They start sucking everything's blood out. So what do? You try to kill them as fast as you can before they get you. It's kind of survival of the fittest down here in Florida. And speaking of survival of the fittest, ultra-processed foods are not just junk foods. Give me camera 4. Why new 2020 research points to deeper problems. This is a study that I had Harrison write for me this week. And I want you guys to look at some of these reviews, not reviews, some of these research studies at the bottom. These are all from 2026. There's 7 of them on here that go into detail with what this stuff does. Food additives, emulsifiers, and preferences on here. Reject all. Thank you. Food additives, emulsifiers, microplastics, and ultra-processed foods and rheumatoid disease. And this is what goes in a lot of these studies now. They're saying that the vast majority of these diseases that are showing up now are directly being contributed, maybe not starting, but are directly contributing to them exacerbating from ultra-processed foods. It says right here, the study suggests that higher ultra-processed food intake is associated with increased risk of rheumatoid arthritis, adjustment for obesity, and lifestyle factors. This is why in this study here that Harrison wrote for me, he says this is why the GHI cleanse and the basic healthy lifestyle kit come into play. The supporting the body's ability to clear, reset, and rebuild, the GHI cleanse designed for that foundation level work by supporting gastrointestinal health, detoxifying pathways, and internal cleansing to the point where many of these modern exposures first interact with the body, the gut. You've got to have your body with the raw nutrients to get this stuff out of your system, and you've got to have this stuff in your body to be able to detoxify it and reduce the inflammation response so these things like rheumatoid arthritis and other degenerative diseases don't continue to get worse and worse and worse and worse. Because, I mean, I've talked to people before. Their diet's horrible. Lifestyle's horrible. They got horrible, horrible arthritis, and they can't even function. They can't exercise. They can't even shake hands anymore.
Well, you know, here's the thing. When you change your diet and you stop eating all the garbage and you get off the unprocessed foods, your body in a healing mode goes through what's called, in many cases, not all the time, but most of the time, retracing. Okay. In other words, you start having the symptoms that you used to have as they get back and get better and better and better and better. It kind of goes backwards. It's called retracing.
Okay.
And I see that a lot of times with people who change their diet. Suddenly, you know, they don't feel perfect the next day. And they're like, why don't I feel perfect?
Right.
Okay? And it may take a couple of weeks for their body to retrace back because it has to decouple from all the disease matrices that you put into it. And it doesn't happen at once. You know, it takes a long time to unhook a bunch of cars from a train.
If you
do it manually. It does. It takes a long time. And so you have to just decouple. But in the meantime, you still may feel a few of the things that you felt before as far as not the good things.
It's true.
You got to stick with it. It's like, we talked about this yesterday. It's like working out for a week and go, oh, I'm sore. I'm not getting any bigger. Well,
yeah.
You are getting bigger. You just can't see it yet. Yeah. Your body has to basically build itself. And that's what it has to do from a health standpoint. Like I just made GHI, collagen, and a purple stick.
There you go.
Now, the reason I do this on air is not because I'm trying to make a mess, which I seem to always do, is that I want you guys to realize that we use these products.
Is this vanilla?
It's vanilla. That's why it's all yellow. I need to put some beet powder in it.
Yeah, the beet powder works good on it.
But it makes it pretty. But the whole thing about it, yesterday, Van came over for a protein shake, right? And so he didn't have any bananas because he always brings his own bananas. He didn't have any frozen bananas. I said, okay, we're going to have a shake without bananas. He goes, well, this is not as near as good. I said, well, you're putting like 4 to 6 bananas in a shake. Said, you're having a banana shake.
It packs some weight on you start doing that enough.
The fructose.
Yeah.
And I don't do the bananas like that. And, you know, I've been able to take off about 8 pounds now, which is good. So, but just be careful with bananas and a lot of fruit. By the way, I want to cover this today. Are we done with this article? Because I don't want to interrupt you. Because you'll fuss at me again on air.
As long as you keep your glasses on your side, we're pretty copacetic. We'll go back and forth.
I'll see if I can land. I can bring some lipstick over.
I want a big, giant orange highlighter right in the middle. My side and your side.
Sounds like your mom. That's funny.
But no, closing up on this, yes. If you got questions on this, guys, the reason why we put these articles together, we try to put them clear, concise, and to have research added to it. These research studies that Harrison added to here, these just came out in 2026. I mean, they're brand new research studies. We put an enormous amount of work here at Health Masters to give you guys the raw data and the information in a very clear, concise setting to make it as easy as possible for you to make decisions and make proper health decisions. I mean, I'm in charge for this. I mean, it seems like every website I go to now, they charge to read articles.
Well, they have to.
Right. They got to monetize.
They've got to pay their bills.
I don't do that because, quite frankly, the only way that we stay operational is when you guys buy a product that funds all this. So it pretty much allows you guys to read everything for free. But at the end of the day, if nobody supports it, it doesn't
forever. And here's how I look at it. It's called reciprocity.
Correct.
You know, when you're in love with somebody and you've got a great relationship with your husband or your wife, you know, you're built on trust, respect, and reciprocity. Those are the three foundational pillars.
That is correct.
If you don't have those, you ain't got nothing. If you don't trust somebody, you ain't got nothing. If you don't respect somebody, it's going to be a nightmare. And if you're not being reciprocal, it's going to be a one-sided mess. Then it won't be a relationship anymore. It'll be a fight. And so you say, I've been in a fight now for 8 years. That's great. That's good on your cortisol. That's really good on your heart. That's really good on stress. That's really good on trying to prevent cancer. Okay? But what we try to do is this. The vast majority of you are getting vitamins anyhow from somewhere else or from us. You are. You're getting your everybody, you better be buying toothpaste from somebody. I hope you buy a toothpaste. I don't want letters on this. Brush your teeth. And so, you know, a lot of you say, well, I'm going to make sure I order all my toothpaste from you. If everybody listening to us would just order toothpaste from us, it would change, you know, our total cash flow situation. This show is expensive. It's over $100,000 a year to put on. You think, oh, how can it be that much? Well, I'm just not going to break it down for you.
It adds up really fast.
It adds up really, really fast, especially with the marketing and everything else that we're doing on it. So to me, it's like this. If you're going to support us, we're going to support you, and we're going to keep all these articles for free. We got to pay these articles. My son, Harrison, who writes these articles, he's got 4 college degrees. It ain't cheap to have him write these things.
Well, and on top of that,
he does a good job.
A lot of the places that we get the new research studies, they charge you to get this stuff, too. Mm-hmm. There's certain websites that we have to pay to get access to a lot of these research studies as well. A lot of stuff you can't get access to unless you pay for it, which makes it even more expensive. But again, we put it together for you to make sure we bring the highest quality nutrition and topics so you guys can make your own decisions on this. Because again, like I said, at the end of the day, having somebody tell you you can't talk about a certain topic, having people come in and try to force you to have their opinion is not constitutional, nor is it Christian, nor is it American. You know, last night, we watched one of the most unprecedented things I've seen in a while. We saw single congressional, basically, race have $32 million spent on it.
That has to be AIPAC. Has to be.
By all Israeli outside lobbyists. $32 million on one single congressional race to get Massey out. And it's funny because 4 or 5 years ago, Massey was like the MAGA boy. All the MAGA people loved him. They loved Marjorie Taylor Greene. As soon as Donald Trump says, we don't like them anymore. Don't like them. All the little MAGA cucks go, oh my gosh, they're bad now. Bad, Massey. Bad. Because you did this or you did this. $32 million on one single candidate. $32 million on the guy that ran against him. That's allegedly some former Navy SEAL that nobody knows about at all. This guy popped out of thin air. Suddenly gets $32 million spent on him by Israeli lobbyists. Imagine for one second. Just imagine this. I'm not going to go on this topic forever, but I thought about this last night. Imagine if we had somebody run for congressional seat and Russia, known Russia lobbyist, foreign agent, dumped $32 million on one congressional race to make sure this guy got elected.
The media would go insane.
Oh, they'd go bonkers.
But remember, the media is controlled by Israel. And don't send me letters.
No, it is. They
AP Wire
that.
And Reuters are both owned by the Rothschild banking cartel, and Israel is the Rothschild's fiefdom.
But imagine that for a second. Every single news outlet in the entire United States would be covering how Russia interfered with an election and dumped $32 million on one congressional candidate. But because it's AIPAC, remember, Massey and Marjorie Taylor Greene were the last two congressional individuals that had zero AIPAC money at all.
Well, Cynthia McKinney did the same thing. She wasn't going to do it. She was taken out of office.
This
too.
Is why Marjorie Taylor Greene said she stepped down in January.
Well,
she said they were going to do. She said they are going to throw so much money at my opponent, they're going to bury me on purpose just to make a point. Now, she said, I'm not going to do it.
Well, it's not even that. It was the personal attacks. She was being verbally abused by Donald Trump.
So was Massey.
Yeah,
they've been hammering him now.
Well, the problem with that is, I mean, you know, nobody likes to get verbally attacked by the president of the United States
on Twitter.
Now, I posted an article for you guys yesterday to read. I hope you read it from Unce. About Donald Trump and who he really is. I don't want to read it on the show because it's unbelievably negative. But I mean, I could do it if you'd like, but it's awful. Now, here's what I say to you is this, and I've got multiple emails back and texts back from people I sent it to. They said, well, were we supposed to vote for Kamala Harris? No. No matter what happened in that election, Trump was going to win. He was slated to win this time. You think, well, it's not that rigged. It's that rigged. That's why Biden got what he got. That's why he got what he won in 2020. It was rigged. It's all rigged. It's all a giant circus show with poop throwing
monkeys.
Well,
we just saw that with Massey last night.
No, it's no.
This guy's been up there for 8 years. Has had an enormous history as far as a positivity on Republican stances. And they throw $32 million at him in one race to make sure they bury him.
But remember, it's rigged.
That's
the
my
whole
point. It's rigged.
Thing is rigged. And so they give you who they want you to vote for. And when they don't want you to vote for that person, they might do exactly what they did against Massey or against Marjorie Taylor Greene. You're Cynthia McKinney. And so what you do is you get yourself into a situation where you get caught up in the matrix. And we've talked about that for the last couple of days. You get caught up in the matrix. And you're thinking that what you're seeing is reality. It's not. You got a guy behind the curtain, the Kabbalist Luciferian Synagogue of Satan nutbags, and they're pulling levers back there, and they're making things that you think are real, look real, and they're not real. They're fake. The whole election process is fake. The election process in the United States is so contaminated now, we will never get out of this mess with elections. It's going to have to be through a revival with a resurrection of basically churches and a love and a truth of Jesus Christ. That's it. For he is the author, the finisher, the perfecter of our faith. You think, well, here you aren't talking about Jesus again. Look, if you don't like that, go turn another podcast on. I'm going to always do that because he created the heavens and the earth. I'm going to talk about mega churches in just a minute and why they've been such a big failure.
Well, let me interject on this. The main reason why we're in this situation in a constitutional republic that's not designed to operate like this for foreign entities running the country is because they've been compromised through perversion. Exactly what you just said.
There you go.
Stepping away from biblical values. When you get enough Congress leaders, when you get enough senators that basically are on videotape doing really bad things to little people, little children, It has a tendency to corrupt the entire system.
No, the problem is Washington's always been a cesspool. It always has.
It's always been a cesspool, you but there's never, from a constitutional standpoint,
if
you read the aspect, understanding of history, one of the biggest things that these guys realize, especially the boys that love Freer that run the money, they figured out with the Republic, the easiest way is to start going in and manipulating the system monetary means.
A constitutional republic was never designed to be controlled by people that have no relationship with God or Jesus.
No, that's exactly right.
It's too easy to manipulate, and having no term limits makes it really
exactly
easy to manipulate.
Remember, and I try to explain this to people, the reason why that concept and that topic never was really added in is because it was an absolute nightmare to be in Congress.
Horse and buggy at Washington.
Literally, it was a nightmare. You represent your constituents. You traveled back to D.C. with literally horse and buggy on horseback.
It took weeks to get
there. It was a duty that basically nobody wanted, and people would step up and say, I'm going to basically jump on this grenade. I'm going to do this for my constituents in my areas, and I'm going to represent them, and I'm going to be a constitutional republic, a government by the people, for the people. They didn't want to do more in a couple years. They were like, you want to vote for somebody else? Please. Let him in. I'm done. I've done 4 years. I'm done. I'm out. And now it's like, oh, we'll add ourselves raises whenever we want. Oh, we'll have the highest amount of yield track record in the stock market in existence of anybody that's ever been in the stock market with pretty much these congrats. I mean, look at Pelosi. I mean, they go in, they're worth a couple hundred thousand dollars. 10 years later, they're worth $100 million. They've got better track records than Warren Buffett and every single algorithm that can be possible in the stock market. We don't know how that happened. Really? You know, we're just going to vote ourselves raises. We're gonna exempt ourselves from Obamacare.
Well, no. What they do is they find out they're going to have a giant contract with, you know, one of these big defense contractors, and they're voting on it next week, and they're going to push it through. And
look at Fauci with COVID. Yeah. He goes in and buys Moderna at $1.50 a share right before Moderna gets the multi-billion-dollar COVID contract. Nobody even heard of Moderna before COVID. They had never even brought anything to market that was successful. Chef Fauci goes in and buys like $1.5 million worth of Moderna shares at $1.50 a share. Then was he selling like $150 a share, whatever it was? No, nobody wanted to bring that up.
No reason to be pardoned. Okay, now let's talk about the churches. I've got multiple friends of mine, and I'm not saying this is true in every case, so don't quote me on this, but I've got multiple friends of mine that have mega churches. And in every single case, the majority of these pastors and their wives are only there for one reason, the money. Now, I know I just could hear a pin drop. I know that. I got it, okay? But I know these people. I've been behind the scenes with them. I've watched them drink. I've watched them booze. I've watched them talk about whores. I mean, I've heard it all, okay? I've watched them go on mega yachts and videotape it with a bunch of whores on the mega yachts. And you're like, why are they promoting this stuff? I told one of them, I said, you better stop this stuff. I said, Satan's going to sift you as wheat, man. Yeah, your constituents and your parishioners find out you're on a whore with a bunch of, you're on a yacht with a bunch of whores. I said, you're going to be run out of town. You think I'm joking? I'm not joking. I don't make any of this stuff up. All right. And I tell them, or they live at the church because their marriages are so bad, or their wife's divorcing them multiple times because their marriages are so bad. I could go on and on and on with these mega churches. Now,
And I got to add one. Then this is as an older teenager, and I saw this, and I'm not bringing up any names on this. It was a pastor that was with his wife at a mega church, and he ended up bringing up a active stripper on stage and basically said, well, she didn't strip on stage at church, but he said, this is my personal trainer at the gym. If you guys see me hanging out with her on a regular basis, she's just my personal trainer. Okay. I want to clarify all this.
And I'm going to say one other thing, too.
I saw that.
Now, listen to me. I don't like talking about this stuff because
it's
extremely negative. Okay?
You brought it up,
dude. That same person, I know who he is.
Oh, yeah.
And I know his wife. And if I mention their names, you know who they are, too. They were getting supplements from another person who makes supplements that I know is a friend of mine. And he said, when they called him up on a Saturday and they needed supplements brought over, I got to be really careful how I say this. And they opened the door in the lobby of their house and they were having an orgy in their home.
Yeah.
Now you look at me, you think, Ted's making this up. You know, I wish I was making that up. This is the level of perversion that we have in Christianity now because these people really aren't Christians. They're in it for one reason, the money only.
That's why so much is compromised with our government.
No.
Because a lot of the churches won't call out what's happening.
Well, when Johnson came in and gave us the Johnson Amendment back in the 50s and made everybody a 501(c) corporation, yep. It gave them the ability to bring in massive amounts of money and keeping it under the 501(c) shell, including up to 25 mansions. I know those guys too. And a fleet of jets. I know those guys too. And they basically get compromised because of this. And you know, a lot of them are gay.
Why do you think we're not involved with that anymore?
No,
that's why we're stepped out of that.
Notice you don't see me on these TV shows anymore with these mega church guys. I don't do it anymore. I had enough of it. By the way, for 30 years, the dominant American church growth strategy assumed that the way to reach the next generation was to make Christianity feel less like Christianity, lower the lights, lose the hymnal, trade the pulpit for a bar stool, replace the cross on the wall with a tasteful abstract panel, preach in jeans, quote movies more than Moses, make Sunday morning feel like a TED Talk, a concert, and a coffee shop fused into one experience, and the unchurched would not find threatening. Now, if I just rattled your cage, I meant to. It worked by the only metrics this strategy was designed to measure. The buildings got bigger. The parking lots got bigger. The brand got bigger. A generation of pastors became national figures. A generation of churchgoers became consumers of religious content. And now the children of that strategy are leaving, and they're not going where anyone or their parents expected them to go. They're not deconstructing the atheism, at least not in the numbers the legacy press promises. This was the first wave, and it largely played itself out. The evangelical podcasts have gone quiet. The I Left the Church memoirs do not move the units they used to. The young adults raised in the seeker-friendly megachurch are more serious, and most serious by their faith, are doing something else. They're walking past the building they grew up in, past the neighboring Bible church, past the Reformed congregation down the road, and they're showing up at Latin Mass in Lutheran churches, divine liturgy, and Anglican parishes with kneelers and prayer books, because they have gone back to what God called them to do based upon what the Patriots did with the Reformation and how they've done this. Now, you understand, this is so important that we understand what they're doing. I'm going to read you the rest of this stuff just on a thing. The Reformers did not build the modern megachurch. The Reformers built churches centered on the public reading and preaching of the Word of God, on serious catechisms from childhood, on a robust theology of the sacraments, on church discipline, on a sense, listen to me, that the congregation belonged to something that connected backward through the centuries and forward into eternity. Calvin was not running a TED Talk on Sunday morning. Luther was not booking a worship band. He was trying to avoid being killed by the Catholic Church. The men who recovered the Scripturata did not throw away the creeds, the councils, the church calendar, or the historic confessions. They read them, they argued with them, and where they had to, they kept everything that was faithful to Scripture. This is why I go to Lutheran Church. Now, I go to Missouri Synod Lutheran Church because the other one's too liberal. But remember, we have to know what the... How many of you know what Apostles' Creed is? How many of you know what the Lord's Prayer is? Most of these churches don't teach any of that. They don't teach any of it. If you read the Apostles' Creed and you mean what it says and you read it out loud to you, at that point in time, you're confessing that you're a believer and you believe in Jesus Christ. But these people in these quote-unquote tent ministries that started back in the 20s and the 30s were high-level Masons. And they said, if you read the Apostle Creed, it's not enough. Not enough. You have to pray the sinner's prayer the way I tell you to. It's complete and total nonsense. Period. You don't have to do that. And if these people are in these other churches, they're not saved. And it's all it was just trying to divide churches. It was trying to divide the Protestants from other Protestant denominations. It was trying to basically demonize every Catholic that ever was out there. It was trying to do everything it possibly could to fracture the church today's genre, where we are right now. And they've been very successful with that because they brought in the name it, claim it, blab it, grab it preachers. And I know a bunch of them. I'm embarrassed to say that. And I don't really associate with any of them but one now. And the sad part about all of this stuff is when I see this and I understand this, I realize that it has really confused Christianity. It really has. You get a lot of these guys were playing secular rock music before the services, like Black Sabbath. Another crazy stuff, because they're trying to bring in the masses of young people. You bring in satanic groups into your church, what kind of Holy Spirit are you going to have show up? You ain't going to have the Holy Spirit show up. You're going to have the Spirit of the Antichrist show up. I'm telling you what's going on. And I've got a friend of mine who's saying, oh, yeah, we play all this music before we go in. Yeah, I know the guy. And I love him. He's a brother. He ended up making an unbelievably stupid decision about a Tesla. And, you know, and he used to listen to the show, but he doesn't anymore. But the reality is that when you listen to that kind of stuff and you get real secularized like that in church, it doesn't do anything to bring in the Holy Spirit in the church, and it sure doesn't make your relationship with God any better. I'm going to tell you, this doesn't do it. Always remember that. Stay with the basics. Do the Apostle Creed. I believe in God the Father, the maker of heaven and earth. Do the Apostle Creed. A lot of you don't even know what that means. Okay, you can read the Nicene Creed also. You can read the Lord's Prayer. Years ago, this is a bad story, but I'm going to bring it in. I had a friend of mine, his name was Eric. He owned a Toyota dealership over in Lakeland. He had some serious health problems. It was very serious other kind of problems too. And I remember he called his buddy up. His name was Bud. He worked there together. And he said to Bud, "Will you read the Lord's Prayer with me?" And Bud didn't know it. Will you pray with me? And he was doing it because he's about to commit suicide. Now, listen to me. You don't want to get to the point in your life that you're so shallow and you're so devoid of having the Holy Spirit in you that you want to commit suicide, that you want to give up on the world. Remember, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. This is the day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and I will be glad in it. Don't allow the evil one to come in and try to change your mind and change your faith. And if you're in a church that's not feeding you because they took the cross down, they never have communion. Everybody's running around in jeans and slacks on the front. Nobody talks about God in a real way. Don't stay in those types of churches. They're not going to feed you. You're not going to grow there. Remember that. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Read your Bible daily. Really, 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 really important. I've read the New Testament hundreds of times. I've read the entire Bible from Genesis to Revelation multiple times. You have to know what the Word of God says. So that way, if you ever are encountered by something that's bad or something encounters you, then you realize that you stand firm on what the Word of God said and you can back it off and you'll be able to test the spirits and you'll know what's right. Because remember, God's Word doesn't contradict itself. When he tells you not to eat pork, what does that mean? That means you don't eat pork. When he tells you, you know, not commit adultery, what does that mean? It means you don't commit adultery. It's kind of simple. They're not called the 10 suggestions. They're called the 10 commandments. Always remember that. Be in a church that teaches the Word of God. I love you guys. I'm trying to give you some advice this morning. What's your next story, Austin?
No, you're spot on with that. That's one of the reasons, like I said, a lot of stuff has gotten so compromised is because churches won't bring topics up. I mean,
oh, they won't bring. No, the one church I'm talking about, I mentioned gays one time in the pulpit about homosexuality being a sin. And the pastor's waving at me, stop, 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 from the front row. Last time I ever spoke for him.
Well, that's why you can't talk about that in little Middle Eastern country. It's continuing to bomb every country around it. I mean, Lebanon's now is just, I mean, it's half of Lebanon's gone. This discussion continues to happen every week with me, and I still don't understand how certain people don't see what's happening. If you
they don't care, bud.
No, but if you call yourself an active Christian, if you're trying to sit there and promote Christ, how can fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? I mean, it's simple question. You know, how can you have a country that literally is trying to do genocide on every country around it, but you're claiming that basically they're our strongest ally? It doesn't work. My computer just died. Take over quick. I gotta put a charger on it.
Okay. All right. I was in the middle of going somewhere else. Where I shouldn't have been. Okay. By the way, new story, South African farming crisis may trigger food shortages across the continent. For decades, South Africa's operated as the breadbasket for the half of the American continent. And the vast majority of that food was grown by white farmers. Oh my gosh. Did I say white farmers? Oh, by the way, they were white farmers. Did you know they didn't have a suntan? Did you know they had very little pigmentation in their skin? Did you know they were white? Just thought I'd mention that. The Boers and the Afrikaners. In other words, the very survival of Africa has been dependent on the hard work of the white people that they were taught to despise. Now you think, I can't believe you're saying that. Don't you know they were under apartheid? Let me say something to you. I spoke with a lady yesterday who lives in Australia who came out of South Africa. And she basically told me that you can't believe what's going on in South Africa with the white farmers and how they've treated them and how they've taken over their farms. And you think, well, yeah, I know. I believe that. She goes, no, it's real. I said, I know it is. South Africa has around 142 race-based laws, which largely discriminate against the white people, especially when property and businesses and government offices are involved. The Expropriation Act of 2024 allows the socialist government to confiscate any land of their choosing to redress past discriminatory laws or practices. That means reparations and owned by white citizens. This is a part of a project to fulfill land reform goals. That means transfer the wealth from the farming operations to black citizens who don't know what they're doing with farming. The problem is when the land is seized or forced into a sale to black owners, farming production collapses. This is to say, once the white farmers are gone, crop yields fail. The black owners often resell the land and leave. In other cases, the new owners allow the land to languish, using the homes for living, but never cultivating the surrounding property. I read this one thing, and I won't read any more of this because Austin's computer's back up, but here's what I will say. I read a few years ago where a guy had 10,000 acres. They had been on there for over 100 years, 200 years, as white farmers. They came in and killed them. They killed them. And then the government took their land, and they had these literally miles and miles and miles of this piping to pump water throughout the entire 10,000 acres. And the guys who bought the farm piled all the stuff up, sold it for scrap, and had a little garden patch in the back of their yard, stopped farming the 10,000 acres, and basically lived on a sustenance-based, you know, lifestyle, who basically they were making and just did a food for them and their family, while the 10,000 acres did nothing. When you have somebody who doesn't know how to farm and you throw them on a farm and say, here, take care of this 10,000 acres, they have no idea what to do. They really don't. They're going to just scrap all the metal and be done with it. They have no idea how to produce land or crops or food or anything else that can be worthy of anything. So the problem with this is that, sure, apartheid was wrong. It was what they did with the blacks in South Africa. I'm not even going to argue that. But doing what they're doing now is the exact same thing as apartheid, but reverse. So what's the difference? You know, Nelson Mandela, he was in prison for years. He came out, we've got to do this, we've got to do that, we've got to do that. He's a communist. South Africa's communism now. That's all it is. And they're taking this stuff away from the people that have money. Same thing Stalin did. Stalin went in and started killing all of the farmers because they weren't giving all of their food to the government. Well, guess what? The next people came in, they didn't know how to farm. So the whole country starved to death. Hundreds of millions died. Stalin was a nightmare. You think Hitler was bad? He was small potatoes compared to Stalin. Stalin said, if I can't kill these 15,000 people a day, I'm having a bad day. Oh, yeah, that's Stalin. That's what he did to Russia. And this revolution in Russia went on for 15, 20 years.
Nobody
always forget that.
Ever talks about Stalin anymore.
No, because he's a high-level Mason, and he was an ally of the United States. He was a nightmare from hell. And he basically went in to Germany and butchered the German women. That was my mom was there. Don't tell me it didn't happen. I know what happened. But anyhow, so that's enough. What's your next story?
I was talking about joints earlier. It says, well, musculoskeletal diseases are rising and how to address the root cause. And it talks about chronic joint and muscle conditions aren't just tied to age. Daily habits and diet risk long before symptoms are showing up. And it goes into detail here about basically symptom-based care with essentially supplementation. Lifestyle nutrition should be the first line strategy for both prevention and treatment. They said D3. One of the big ones here, protein and collagen, imagine that, important for preserving muscle mass, especially in older adults. They said they recommend eating at least 1 gram of protein per kilo of body weight each day, including meat, eggs, basically nuts and seeds. That's what they give a recommendation on there.
It says tofu, no. The answer is no.
Tofu.
Tofu.
They add that in a lot of articles a lot of times because it's a soy-based protein.
It's horrible.
Don't touch soy protein with a 10-foot pole. I mean, don't even eat it. Don't touch it. There's just no positive. Almost all of it is GMO, like 99% of it.
Soaked in glyphosate.
And it's a phytoestrogen. It screws up the endocrine system in males and females.
If you want to have boobs, eat soy.
Yeah.
I can't be, but it's called gynomastia, if you want to rather have me say it that way. It's sickening.
Omega-3 fatty acids, extremely beneficial to joints due to its anti-inflammatory properties, especially the one we have that we just brought back out, the Ultra Omega, which is the DHA 5X. So it's 5 times DHA to EPA. Really, really good for the brain and really good for inflammation. It says magnesium, vitamin K, and phosphorus. That's magnesium. I'll talk another article in a second here. Another article just came out on magnesium. Magnesium is crucial for joint health. I mean, magnesium is crucial for like everything. You know, you say it's most for joints, for this. It kind of hits everything. It's that everything supplement.
Biggest deficiency out there as far as minerals, not calcium, it's magnesium.
Yeah, and it says low sodium and low sugar soft drinks. I don't agree with reducing massive intakes of good salt like Redmond salt or Himalayan salt. However, processed, ultra bleached, ultra processed food salt, that I think is what it's talking about here. That is massively inflammatory.
And most of the time it contains fluoride.
Yes.
Especially in the South American countries.
It says limiting sugary beverages, including soft drinks, help prevent calcium loss and support better bone density. No. Duh. I mean, if you're drinking soft drinks and you're having bone or joint or inflammation problems, I don't know what planet you're still living on. We're in 2026 now. There's no excuse to not have the idea and understanding that sodas are one of the most inflammatory drinks you can put in your body, period.
You know, I'm going to tell a story. Got to let you sit here for a second and get your eyes stop watering. Okay, here's the deal. I remember years ago, this is 25 years ago, my mother fell, broke her foot, and I basically went to the hospital, and there was a guy who was wearing a little hat who was her doctor, and he had told her that she was basically cancerous ridden. Didn't have any tests done on her, just told her she had cancer, and said that she had a lytic lesion come from probably her brain into her foot and cause this cancer. And so it did not done one single test. So I caught him in the hallway, me and my little hat friend, and I told him, I said, I'm being really nice right now. And I said to him, I said, why did you diagnose my mother with this? And he goes, Well, I believe it. I said, no. Why? I want to know why. Is it because she's German? Does she piss you off that bad? Is it her accent? And he looked at me kind of funny. He goes, what do you mean by that? And I said, you know exactly what I mean by that. Let me explain something to you. You're telling me that she has a lytic lesion. I'm telling you she has an osteoporotic fracture because she drinks sodas.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, you're saying that she basically has some type of terminal cancer. I'm telling you she's osteoporotic. And I said, and I'm going to say this to you since you decided to tell her that she had cancer before she was actually tested. If I find you in this hospital, we're going to have a little chit-chat again if she doesn't have cancer. Because you can't scare her like that. You've got her in the room terrified and crying. And I said, I don't appreciate this at all. What you've done is commit malpractice, in my opinion. You should have kept your mouth shut until the test came to her. And he looked at me, you can't talk to me like that. I said, I just did. And I will. I said, you are one of those people that I can't stand. And I said, I'm sorry. And I said, I won't put up with it. I said, anybody who's willing to scare an old woman like that is unbelievable to me because you're taking some kind of personal giggles out of it. And I said,
that's
so
fact.
And I said, if you come up, we see each other again and she don't have cancer. And guess what? You talk about a ghost disappearing. I never saw that boy again. And you know, you guys are all laughing at me now. You think, well, first of all, those of you who know me, you know I don't exaggerate. That's exactly what happened. And don't get me started on it. But I can't stand stuff like that. And it was, of course, an osteoporotic fracture.
Yeah.
And the sad part about it is that I had told her for decades to stop drinking the sodas. Didn't listen to me. And alcohol. You know, she'd love to drink her beer every night. Alcohol precipitates calcium. It causes osteoporosis.
That's the stack. I mean, if you really want to cause some inflammation,
hollow out your
drink
bones.
Drink Coca-Cola with, like, whiskey. I mean, you're talking about that is the formula will absolutely wreck your gut, wreck your bones, wreck everything.
It doesn't have to be that brand of cola. Any cola will do.
Well, no, soda.
I'm just trying.
Did I put the name out? No, bleep it out. I know YouTube.
I have been told, I used to say that on big talk radios. You can't use that name. They advertise with us. I'm like, sorry.
Soda, great value brand soda and liquor. Don't mix the two together. It's unbelievably inflammatory.
Oh, by the way, here's an interesting article. Irrelevant Europe. Now, I'm going to go into something here that I haven't talked about in a minute now. And we're talking about Europe as far as not being relevant anymore. Joseph Borrell, Spanish socialist communist, who held several high-ranking positions in the European Union, and until 2024 was the vice president of the European Commission and the high representative of the European Union for foreign affairs and security policy. In that capacity, ran Europe's External Action Service, which is the diplomatic body that executes Europe's foreign policy decisions around the world. He remains a man with a great deal of influence. In 2022, he created a bit of international incidents when he described Europe as a garden and the rest of the world as a jungle. You know, Borrell, I don't know if you wear a little hat or not. Don't really care.
I'm sure he does.
Probably do. But at this point, you're nauseating. We have built a garden, he told the aspiring European diplomats in Belgium. Most of the rest of the world is just a jungle. The jungle could invade the garden. The gardener should take care of it. Now, he's saying all of this crazy stuff. Then, Borrell's speech came 7 years after German Chancellor, high-level communist, raises a communist from East Germany, absolute piece of garbage, Angela Merkel decision to open her country's borders to millions of immigrants from Islam. Africa. Originally touted as a humanitarian policy designed to temporarily shelter refugees. Not true. That's what that was not what she wanted. From war-torn Syria, Germany's generous welfare programs quickly became a magnet for the young men and women across the Middle East and North Africa. When Merkel declared on August the 31st, 2015, we can do this, she initiated an all-of-society welcome culture that quickly produced a full-blown migrant crisis for the whole continent. That's because Gaddafi told her, told the world, told Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama, Bill, he's gay and his wife's a tranny, according to Joan Rivers, that Barack Obama, that you take Libya out, you open up the floodgates of Africa into Europe. Gaddafi told him that, and he was right.
Libya was the most successful African country, period. Look back at photos from the 2000s, mid-2000s. I mean, their infrastructure was incredible for an African country. Mm-hmm. Their resources, they had no debt with the Central Reserve
Bank. Free college, almost free gas.
I watched 13 Hours again the other day because I wanted to do a little history lesson on that. And it's interesting to me because I know a lot of the build-up story behind the scenes from the contractors. the fact of what was going on in Libya, they needed Libya as a massive weapon depot to do trafficking through there, including a whole lot of other stuff that I'm not even going to get about on this show. That's why they wanted that CIA annex blown up. They wanted everybody in that annex to die. That's why they would not give them any air support. Yeah. They would not give them any firepower. Yeah. They wouldn't give them any basically
ASR. It rubs me the wrong way. I'm sure there's some good people in the CIA. I got that.
Yeah.
And there's some really lousy people too. But you don't do that to your own people. Mossad doesn't kill Mossad. No. That's why they're so loyal to each other. Jeffrey Epstein didn't die in the cell. They took him out. I'm just telling you. The other one, his little girlfriend, Ghislaine Maxwell, she's not in a federal prison anymore. She's basically having a great little time
There have been rumors that basically that she, the Maxwell that's in prison now is pretty much like nobody sees her. She's isolated somewhere.
No, she's probably not even really Maxwell. When Maxwell, when Merkel declared on August 2015 we can do this, she initiated an all society welcome culture, which quickly produced full-blown migrant classes for the whole continent. 10 years later, the influx of tens of millions of Muslims into Europe has transformed school demographics and local politics, unleashed an explosion of sex crimes. 1,000 guys basically attacked women, or 1,000 women were attacked, or whatever.
You can't even go to the pool anymore over there. They said no, they can't go to the pool.
No, and anti-European violence strained Europe's hospital services and social safety nets. After the jungle had already been successfully invaded, Europe's garden, Bertel, this little hat boy, knew there was no way to put the genie back in the bottle. Merkel's fateful decision to welcome all the Middle Eastern Easterns of Europe transformed the cities and towns across Europe into the Middle East. Borrell also knew that the European Union's Patchwork Defense Agency did not have the requisite military and espionage assets to effectively protect the continent. So he tried to fashion his corps of young diplomats into a network of information and persuasion agents who would do Europeans binding around the world. Bertel's message got lost to the ensuing international mess over his garden being invaded. Okay, I'm going to stop for a second. They tried to, Mercedes, was working with Merkel, because Mercedes is a woke company now. They decided they were going to go ahead. The only thing that proves Mercedes is not completely woke is their G-Wagon. Okay? It's unbelievably ugly, unbelievably cool, unbelievably bad gas mileage, unbelievably non-aerodynamic, and an unbelievably nice.
UN troop transport is what it originally was.
No, that's the only reason Mercedes isn't totally woke. All the rest of their cars are awful. And what's interesting about this is that Mercedes got together with Merkel, and they thought, we're going to bring in a whole bunch of these African migrants from Somalia to work in the Mercedes factories. Nobody told them they had a 55 IQ. They didn't really care. If a person is born with a 55 IQ, when they die, they have a 55 IQ. If they're raised with parents who have 150 IQ, and they're 18 years old, they still have a 55 IQ. Nothing changes. If the immigrant has 150 IQ and the parents have 55 IQs, when the person's 18 years old, they still have a 150 IQ. IQs don't change. And so people don't realize how insane this was to bring in a whole group of people with a 55 to a 65 IQ out of Somalia. They couldn't even be taught how to flush a toilet. They kind of just stare at the handle. You have to show them over and over again. Last night, Stetson was in the pool.
Yes.
You're 2-year-old, okay? And he had a squirt gun, right? And it was a weird squirt gun. It was like a little two little thing. You pull them apart, and it squirts like that, right? And so he's sitting there looking at it. He goes, "Opa, rah!" Points at me in the water. And so I do it for him. He goes, "Wah!" He has to do it again. I said, no, we're not doing that. So I stood him on the water. He sat down. I said, pull it apart, and then squirt it. And it took him like one time, and he figured out two. He's two, and you think if you teach him how to do that, you teach him how to flush a toilet. And so then he starts shooting your other two kids with a squirt gun, and they would fall over and pretend like he shot them. Oh, he's just laughing and cackling. And I thought to myself, it's great being an upper. It's great that I can send them home. It's great that I don't have to discipline them. This is great. It's great that I can spoil them and make them biscuits all the time and all these crazy things and make everybody mad when they go home all hyped up on sugar. This is great. I love this. But the thing about it is that he's two. When you take somebody with a 55 IQ, they can't even go to the U.S. military because they can't be taught to do anything. So Mercedes brings them in. They couldn't even be taught to sweep the floors. They couldn't do anything. They were pooping in the bushes outside. You say, what? They didn't know how to use a toilet. They pooped in the bushes their whole life. They thought that was the toilet. And so then Merkel destroyed Germany. You go to Frankfurt now, it's a nightmare. It's filthy. Cologne's filthy. It used to be the cleanest country in the world. Now, the cleanest country I've seen in the world, if you want to believe this, because I've been there, is Spain. And Madrid, which is so opposite to Mexico, which is one of the filthiest countries in the world. And now the Spaniards will tell you, we're not Mexicans. They get mad.
And quite frankly, I can't blame them on that.
Okay? but no. So I was in Madrid a few years ago, and I told Sharon, I said, this place is spotless.
Yeah.
It's like Germany used to be. You know why? Because all the immigrants didn't make it that far southwest.
That's exactly right.
Because Spain didn't have all those social welfare infrastructure things like Germany had. So Germany's busted.
That's how Sweden's gone now.
Oh, yeah.
Sweden's a nightmare.
There's parts of Sweden where the police won't even go.
They call them no-go zones.
I'm going to say something extremely... Well, some of you think it's racist. Some of you think it's okay. Some of you think it's just observation. You pick whatever you want to do. I'm just going to tell you what I saw. When we got there when you were 10 years old, this is like 30 years ago, right? Well, that's not quite 30 years ago. That'd make you 40. Almost 40. Yeah. And it was so funny. Everybody was blonde hair, blue eyes.
Yeah.
And I remember there was a really pretty little girl running around, and Austin thought, oh, my gosh, she's really pretty. I said, we better go talk to her. Yeah. You better get her text or whatever we're going to do back then. And he was a little embarrassed to do it. And I thought, how great. Last time I went to Sweden, you know, 10, 15 years ago, I was there. I didn't see any blonde hair, blue eyes. It was all Muslim. And they're wearing the little things. And I'm like, wow, this is crazy. The entire country is destroyed. You think, well, it's not destroyed. It's got a different social economic ethos.
It's called pattern recognition.
Yeah.
You see a certain demographic of people always have the exact same behavior and the exact same understanding of what they do. It's called pattern recognition. There's nothing racist about it. If you take a segment of a population and you put them in a completely different country and they turn that country in the exact hellhole they came from in the other country.
It's high enough population density.
It's pattern recognition. They do the same thing. You're recognizing the same pattern they display.
Oh, what? Yeah, you got your body uncovered. That means you're a whore.
Yeah.
I'm going to rape you here in the street. What? Well, yeah, why don't you talk to the Germans who got raped in Cologne? Because they were wearing clothes. They weren't covered up from head to toe. Yeah, that means you were running around as a prostitute, so we're just going to take advantage of you right here. We don't know we can't rape anybody. We thought it was okay. They don't even put the guys in jail. Just because that's their pattern recognition. And now you think, well, why did they do that? Well, because Merkel was finishing what they started to do with Stalin and World War II, and she's probably one of these crazy people that was born in some type of unbelievably hardcore communist family, which she was, by the way. And she decided to finish destroying Germany because of socialism and because of communism. This is the truth of what happens when countries have other people come in. Now, if you bring them in slowly, like we did on Ellis Island, you know, by ship, by clipper ship or whatever, what happens, you can integrate them. And slowly, over a period of a few generations, they integrate.
You got to remember the work ethic, though. A lot of people that came into Paris Island, they wanted to be here. They wanted a new life. They wanted to work.
Well, yeah,
we didn't have that social welfare program like we do now that's to the extent that it is anywhere near.
I've got a friend of mine who's dating a girl from Haiti. Okay? Now, she's a beautiful girl. She's really pretty. And she told him the other day, she goes, well, I've never worked. I've never, ever cleaned house. I've never, ever cooked. I don't know how to cook. I've never, ever had a manual job. She's a model. I don't do anything besides look good. And I looked at him. I said, he wants to marry her. And I said to him, you know, so you're going to cook, you're going to clean, you're going to leave the house, you're going to come home, and you're going to have to pick up her trash. And I said, how long do you think that's going to last? Yeah. But no, she has no work ethic. And you think, well, not everybody from Haiti's like that. I didn't say they were. I'm not even trying to say that. There's some people that really work. I need some people from Haiti that really work hard. I got that. But the reality is, when a culture is like that, Haiti, years ago, in order to get free from the French, supposedly made a deal with the devil. That's why they got zombies running around and witch doctors everywhere. I mean, they live in grass huts in a lot of the places. I mean, it's awful over there. It's like a completely failed third world country. So if you marry somebody who's been involved in and lived in a situation like that, unless they've really been westernized and learned how to live the right way, you got to be careful. Because if somebody doesn't want to work, okay, ladies, you know this. Your husband comes home. He's a slob. He starts at the door and starts pulling clothes off. You got dirt and trash all the way through the house. And he starts screaming at you, where's my dinner? And you're like, oh, God, it's a nightmare. And unless you're really raised to deal with that, it's a very hard situation to go with. Same thing with a guy. Guy goes to work every day, comes home, lays his wife sitting there and watches soap operas all day. House is a filthy wreck. No dinner, no food on the table. You go, well, are you going to do anything? Well, the guy has to make his own dinner, has to clean up all the mess. You're like, okay, this is out of balance. There's no reciprocity here. That is not how you build a relationship. How you build a relationship is what we mentioned at the beginning of the show. Trust, respect, and reciprocity. Everybody working together as a team. I don't know how I got into this stuff. That's why Angela Merkel had to get pissed off.
The Haiti, man, last year, and I knew the guys, some of the guys that were getting the contracts. Eric Prince, founder of Blackwater, turned into academia. They had basically another operation called Vectis Global that got the military contract last year in Haiti. There's over 200 military contractors still in Haiti right now combating gangs because they won't stop fighting and eating people, the gangs, not the contractors.
The head guy over there was a cannibal.
Yeah. And so, I mean, they have a 10-year contract. a 10-year contract in Haiti.
And Trump has stopped any importations or any immigration of Haitians into the United States.
Yeah.
He said, we don't want them here. They eat people.
My buddy sent me the contract option on it. It's $1,500 a day plus per diem.
Wow.
$1,500 a day plus per diem to go down there. You need at least 4 to 8 years of combat experience, and they are hiring them on the spot. Give them contracts, go down there.
You told me they're going with helicopters just clean
helicopters,
out.
They got everything down there. They got full Overwatch. They got drones. They got everything. I mean, that's where Haiti went. I mean, so it's like when you have to start sending in military contractors to little tiny islands to stop everybody from killing each other, I mean, it's just rough. And I'm not speaking the entire population down there. What I'm saying is they got some really wild stuff.
That's why so many people have left Haiti.
Yeah, exactly.
And what's interesting, cruise ships just go to Port-au-Prince.
Yeah.
And they started, the people get off the ship and they just never came back to the ship. They were being killed, probably eaten. And all of a sudden it's like, why don't we just not bring ships here anymore? This is really bad for publicity. And they stopped going in there. But that's a nightmare island. It really, really. And then you got the Dominican right next to it. And so it is a great place to live for some people. But the reality is how can two separate people be so different on the same island, the same
thing? Well, the issue is now Vectis Global, the contractor that's down there that's tied in with Eric Prince, they've now got I'm not laughing because this is constant with Blackwater. They're now basically accused of like killing 43 innocent, basically civilians. The problem is when you run into situations like that, and this is an issue they talked about with the guys in Benghazi, I've talked to Boone about it, is that nobody wears uniforms. You don't know who's good and who's bad. Everybody's got guns. Everybody's in constant combat and conflict, and it's like it's what happened in Iraq and the whole square when Blackwater got fried by Congress.
In 13 hours, too.
Yeah, it happens, man, and that's the problem when you're dealing with those combat areas like that. It is what it is. But yeah, Haiti's...
I mean, Benghazi, they were telling them they were the good guys and they were the bad guys.
Oh, yeah.
They were turning...
17
it was horrible what happened in Benghazi.
Well, there's no uniforms. Everybody looks the same. It brings you to me that one scene. Goes, everybody's got a gun in Benghazi. Where he's at that one square at the beginning, and they got doggone surface air missiles they're selling right in the middle of the square. I mean, you want buy three, get one free. Yeah. Like, gosh.
And again, that's one of the reasons they killed Ambassador Stevens, because our military and our top level officials out of Washington were involved in gun running.
Well, especially the CIA. That's really what
remember what Nicolas Cage. Remember Nicolas Cage said in the Warlord or Lord of War, whatever it was.
Lord of War. Yeah.
Remember he said they let him at the end of the movie. He got free, and he goes, "You don't understand. Our government sells to these people, but they can't do it directly, so they need people like me to do it for them. So they're going to let me out." And they gave a handful of
cash.
But yeah, they gave him a bunch of cash. And he gets in the limousine and drives away. And it's based on a true story. Oh, by the way, Trump's world new eyebrow-raising addiction that even most the health boss RFK admits to using every day. RFK is using basically nicotine pouches.
There you go.
And Trump's using nicotine pouches. And we talked about this yesterday.
Did I not call that
yesterday?
Oh,
my God. Nicotine pouches are probably the safest way to consume nicotine, he told the Brazilian radio host last year. What a stinking lie. He also appeared at the Pop Cat.
Let me clarify this. I told you yesterday that is probably the safest way to consume nicotine, but that does not make nicotine healthy or safe. That's a difference.
His wife, actress Cheryl Hines, urged Kennedy to use the products after touting her past use of nicotine gum on set to stay alert. Well, you know, I don't even know what to say about this, but this is not something that's going to be promoted by this show ever.
No.
And
the problem is, I told you guys this yesterday, if grown adults want to do grown adult things and they want to do that, that's your choice 100%. It's up to you. You want to do bad habits, habits.
Just use a purple stick.
Yeah, the purple stick's got antioxidant blends of phytonutrients. The problem with it is that a lot of this stuff is being targeted and marketed towards young children.
Eight-year-old kids.
8, 10, 12, 13-year-old kids.
Just like Joe Camel.
They're making it so easy to consume nicotine now. I remember like back in the day, you know, kid grab a pack of cigarettes from their dad. Everybody's going, "Oh, let's try one." Everybody chokes their lungs out, coughs. Gosh, horrible. Why do people smoke?
I did that when I was 8. Took one puff.
Everybody's
that was enough.
One time. Yeah. So I tried cigarettes one time. Never did them again. I'd use it in Copenhagen and dip. But back then, it was real dip. Real man chew chaw. Now they got these kids that are like, "Hey, Tesla nicotine pouch. Tastes like bubblegum flavored mango cherries. Oh, yeah, it's great. Man, 13. You know, I'm on nicotine now. I feel great."
You know, they had a cartoon character back in the 60s called Joe Camel. And it was targeted directly towards children. It was cigarettes.
Cartoon for cigarettes.
No, think of Joe Camel. And then you say, "I'll walk a mile for a Camel. Pop, pop, fizz, fizz. Oh, what a relief it is. Winston tastes good like a cigarette should. They were playing all these jingles back in the 60s. And those of you who remember that, you're dating yourself, just to let you know that. But you guys look up these jingles of cigarettes. They promoted just like they promoted, just like they're promoting the nicotine out of kids. You know, raspberry bubblegum. Well, this is going to be great. You're going to love this. You're like, on and on.
This is just straight out. This is factual. Cortisol levels, significant increase with nicotine.
When
nicotine enters the system and actions your brain and adrenal glands to rapidly stimulate the production of CRF, this kicks off a chain reaction that increases cortisol. The extent to which cortisol releases is tied to the amount of nicotine consumed. High-dose products like pouches cause a more significant rapid spike in cortisol. Habitual nicotine users often maintain higher overall baseline cortisol levels compared to non-users. Many users feel that cigarettes prevent common nerves. However, this is largely an illusion caused by a temporary relief of nicotine withdrawal. While a hit of nicotine may momentarily distract you, it simultaneously ratchets up your body's stress response. The reason why, guys, if you've ever used nicotine, the reason why it feels like it relaxes you when you first hit it again is because your body's already starting to withdraw from it after the last dosage. So you use it again, you feel more relaxed because it calms that withdrawal period because your nicotinoid receptors are jumping through your skin to get more nicotine through them. The nicotinoid receptors in your body are not designed to get 6 milligrams of nicotine in one single pouch. There's guys that I've seen online now that are influencers talking about using 2 and 3 pouches at a time. Guys, you are asking to cause yourself a cardiovascular event if you're going to the gym using 15, 20 milligrams of nicotine. That is just plain stupid. I mean, you don't have to be in advanced biology and physiology to understand how bad that is for your cardiovascular system. Do your research on this stuff before you start hearing some of these ding-dongs make comments like this and tell you it's a great product to use as a pre-workout stimulant. If you need something, use something that reduces cortisol, that's got antioxidants in it and phytonutrients that actually help your body fight off free radicals, not increase your cortisol levels and leave them spike till you're withdrawing from it again and you got to get more to feel better, feel calmed down because you got more. Been there, done that, used tobacco for 10 years. I'm telling you right now, there's nothing good about nicotine in high doses whatsoever. So do not go along with this hype, especially watch your kids with these pouches now because the influencers are pushing them. You can buy them online, by the way, guys. All you have to have is a driver's license that you scan. You can buy these pouches right online to your doorstep, to your mailbox. And there's been numerous reports now that I've personally heard about of these kids, young kids, using their parents' driver's license, putting it back in their wallet, and ordering these nicotine products right to their mailbox, not even having to go anywhere to the store. And now they got this stuff, and they're using it and getting unbelievably addicted to nicotine at 12, 13, 14 years old. Heard the stories, watched it, seen it. Be cautious of this right now because this topic is getting very common.
You know, I just saw this warning. This lady basically got to a point where she had gotten an order that was bad at a coffee place, and she was 75 years old, and it's a shocking surveillance footage. The moment the woman walks in to get coffee, she basically, she was so angry the coffee wasn't right, she flew into a frenzy. And one of the workers, basically there, she's 75 years old. She was berating the young workers at the coffee shop in Fort Wayne, Indiana, on May the 13th. Then suddenly, she pitched a fit, started hitting this guy. Well, the guy started hitting back. Gosh. And she dies of a massive heart attack.
Oh, gosh.
And then Gerson did start with the workers in the face and ripped out a lock of her hair. In response, the worker swung her arms wildly at the elderly woman, knocked her over before she stood up and thought about a cup of water from the store manager to calm down. Police say that she was unresponsive when the officers arrived there 10 minutes later. So she decided to pitch a little, excuse my vernacular, biatch fit in the coffee shop, ended up dying of a heart attack.
That's a horrible story.
Too
much cortisol.
Too much cortisol. Too many stimulants.
Yeah.
You only can handle so much nicotine. You only handle so much coffee until your heart says no more.
When you start taking a large dose of nicotine, you'll start getting shakes. Your hands start shaking.
Oh, yeah.
It's such a stimulant. It's an aggressive stimulant. That's why I tell people, use this stuff as a pre-workout. It's absolutely retarded. So, again, use something natural. Use something that's got natural supplements in it that's going to support your body. And, again, I'm not using this to promote purple sticks as far as what you're seeing with these nic pushes. But what I am saying is do your research and understand what they're actually talking about.
Well, you have to.
Yeah.
Let
me have one more. College
almost out of time.
To the afternoon. You guys check it out. It'll be changing later this afternoon. You guys voted. I want to see what's going to happen. Prostate support. Creatine. Boom. There you have it.
I tell you, prostate.
Prostate support kicked in.
Creatine, boy. It's close. Done.
You should buy the show. It's when we cap it off. We got to start changing everything over the next couple hours.
Oh, by the way, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus all the days of your life. Remember, I'm doing great. I'm going to get better. If my life was any better, I'd have to charge admission. have that attitude, that mindset, because we don't have a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind, because we're keeping our hearts and minds in Christ all the days of our life. I love you. Thanks for supporting the show. Thanks for getting your products from us. Thanks for getting your toothpaste from us.
Yes.
If you weren't here, we wouldn't be here. And Austin, you got a couple more seconds. What do you want to say?
Appreciate it, my friend. Stay strong, stay healthy, keep your joints mobile. You guys have a fantastic evening. I appreciate you guys. I thank you for the positive emails. We'll talk to you on the show tomorrow, as always.
Love you guys.